live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 206, season 5. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, what's good? What's good, man? Everything's good with me. Weather's good here in the Circle City. And, boy, do we have a pretty great day today. You know what I'm saying? You know, low 60s, right? I think something like that. No snow. And, you know, great. I know we got tonight. I know we got some great sports topics because we're coming out of a great weekend where we had Final Four and WrestleMania and, you know what I'm saying, even some great good AEW content. So, please. Give us a rundown of the show, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely, John. We've got, you said, the Final Four. We're going to talk Final Four, all that is between the two games on Saturday night, the semifinals, the championship on Monday, Rock Jock Jayhawk winning the title, Bill Self getting his second title overall. Also, we're going to be talking Masters action, the Masters starting tomorrow. That'll be huge. We'll be talking with that, our picks, some good odds and things there. We'll talk NBA. NBA playoffs are approaching. The Indiana Pacers have two games left in this horrific season. So with just two games to go, we'll talk NBA, where we're seeing this, and kind of MVP candidates as we close in here at the end. And obviously we'll do our tankathon for the Pacers to see where the mock draft has us taking and who. And then MLB, John. We get done with basketball, and baseball opening day is tomorrow. We'll talk some baseball, hit that a little bit. Like you said, WrestleMania was this past weekend, and we'll do that in your calls and more.
Yeah, so we're also probably chiming in a little bit about our little Butler trip as well, as we got in front of a couple of sports journalism students in Butler this past Monday. So with all due respect, what you want to do first, Brandon?
Let's dive right into college basketball, John. The NCAA tournament, the Final Four down in New Orleans. We had Duke and Carolina. We had Kansas and Villanova. Two good games. Kansas just suffocating Villanova early. Kansas getting the W there. And then Krzyzewski out. Done. Carolina gets the win. Just a horrible way for it to end. And then we've got I'm distracted in the thing. There's two dogs fighting out here in the middle of the...
Oh, my goodness.
Out here. My it's crazy. Yeah, owners are trying to separate them right now. so we've got that to talk about. Duke, is Coach K, is he really retired? Is he continuing? I think he's coming back. There's my spoiler alert. I think Coach K comes back. I don't think he goes out that way. So, John, let's talk first the semifinals games. Your thoughts on both those semifinals?
Just Villanova would have still been a little manpower down, even without the Moore being injured. Flip a coin. Sometimes they're best player, sometimes he's the second best player. You know what I'm saying? But they still would have been, like, from a firepower standpoint, probably a little bit outmatched, outgunned against Kansas. I looked up, and you also, you know what I'm saying, you got to pay attention to trends, you know what I'm saying? You sports bettors and whatnot. Anybody who, for next year, who wants to fill out a bracket. I ain't fill out no bracket next year, Brandon. But, like, no, man, Kansas hadn't lost a game since, like February 26th against the champs, against last year's champs, the Baylor, Baylor at home, man. So, they're an older team. You know what I'm saying? They're filled with juniors and seniors. One McDonald's All-American. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's the way to win, the blueprint to win. It's kind of what Syracuse did, if anybody remembers their run when Jim Boeheim and Carmelo Anthony, you know what I'm saying, ripped through the tournament. But, man, Kansas was just too much to handle for Villanova. And you know what I'm saying, this particular go-round. When we think about Duke, yes, as a, you know what I'm saying, as a Duke, you know, I'm a longtime Duke fan, right, follower of the program. You want to see Coach K, you know, saying you want to see Coach K get to the final game, right, to get to a chance to win, to cut down the nets, right? What a magical type of ending that would have been. Like, you know, I'm saying Disney would have been probably, you know, saying drawing up a 3-hour movie had that happened, but wasn't meant to be, man. So, and it's kind of poetic. You listen a little bit if you're a North Carolina fan. You know, so you look at it, well, you know, saying you beat your rival from getting to the championship game, right? And like I said, that's what happened, man. You know, saying the high, you know, saying sometimes not necessarily, you know, saying the best team. Both those teams, if you think about it, you know what I'm saying, both those teams kind of came in hot. Duke got hot in the tournament. You know what I'm saying? They play for their coach. You know what I'm saying? As we know, a lot of those guys on that Duke team are one and done. And, you know, North Carolina just kind of finally bought into what Coach Davis has been saying. You know what I'm saying? Probably all year. Do you know North Carolina? I don't want to keep on rambling, but you know North Carolina had some bad. I mean, there's the reason why nobody outside of the state, outside of anybody that lives in Chapel Hill, probably didn't have North Carolina in the Final Four. You know what I'm saying? They lost 17-point loss to Tennessee, a 20-point loss to Pitt, another 20-point loss to Wake Forest. You know what I'm saying? These are all regular season games, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? I never said they stunk, because nobody stinks to home record. Nobody stinks like that. But, you know, nobody, again, you know what I'm saying, because of some of the losses, again, another 9-point loss to Purdue. So because of some of the losses, you know what I'm saying, people just didn't really have a whole lot of faith in North Carolina other than themselves. So kudos to the programs that made Kansas and North Carolina to the final game. And then, you know what I'm saying, the final game was even more fireworks now, wasn't it?
Yeah, the championship game, Kansas-North Carolina. Kansas starts out on a big 7-0 run to start the game. You're thinking, okay, this is it. And then Carolina comes out, and Kansas just kind of died there towards the end of the first half. I think it was 40-25 at halftime. North Carolina with a big lead. I was about ready to go to bed myself, late game. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to put some money on the live line for Kansas, see what happens. Tanner Penrod, buddy of ours, is chirping about bringing the ass, and the glass is going to shatter. And on this, on today, well, it didn't happen, Tanner. Second half, Kansas comes up big. They pulled the big of Carolina out away from the basket, which was able to get them closer to the basket to get their shots. That was good for them. Obviously, they had a huge 17-point comeback, largest in championship game history. Rock Chalk wins their title. I believe it's their fourth NCAA championship, second for Bill Self. One was in 2008 with Mario Chalmers and that group. Kansas goes from, and I told you the other day, Kansas goes from FBI investigation and such to a national championship. Nobody batted an eye.
Nobody batted an eye. We can talk about, you know what I'm saying, what happened in the last couple of years. There's still going to be some, you know what I'm saying, they're still going to come down with some sanctions and what, you know what I'm saying, whatnot against Kansas, even maybe not necessarily against this particular team, but, you know what I'm saying, what happened in the last couple of years with their program and what maybe Bill Self knew about paying players or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Again, all that's kind of going to come out here real soon. To get back to focus on the game, man, yeah, so really got their, you know what I'm saying, apple handed to them in the first half, you know what I'm saying? If anybody didn't catch the game, yeah, Kansas didn't look like the Kansas that I said had kind of burned its way to, an undefeated streak, you know what I'm saying, since February 23rd. They didn't look like themselves. They looked like they couldn't, you know what I'm saying, they didn't know what to do against the North Carolina big at all. Their guards, you know what I'm saying, were broken, you know what I'm saying, in the first half, man. They couldn't get a shot out. Hell, they couldn't even shoot free throws in the first half. So, but technically, I mean, Bill Self evidently has a big rah-rah speech, or he comes up with a great X and O execution, and they, you know what I'm saying, they scramble, they get North Carolina to turn the ball over, like you said, what's my man's name, Babcock, I do believe his name is Babcock from North Carolina, they get him in foul trouble, and again, their guards kind of caught some heat. I mean, Kansas plays fast, even in the first half, they played real fast. And sometimes watching them on a fast break is kind of watching like a miniature version of L.A. Showtime. But they sped the game up for them in the second quarter, second half rather. And like I said, I didn't make it to one shining moment because, again, man, from a historical standpoint of my fandom, right, not a big fan of Duke. And I'm sorry, not a big fan of North Carolina, definitely not a big fan of Kansas at all. So, yeah, Bill Self, you know what I'm saying, he gets championship number two on his resume.
Okay. So college basketball has come to an end. Some of the news and notes from the college basketball world hasn't. Earlier today, Ball State had their introductory press conference with new head coach Mike Lewis. One quote, John, that I liked from the press conference is, quote, "I came here to win championships. I'm not coming back to, quote, this state to lose. It's personal to me. Patience is my biggest weakness. I didn't come here to be patient."
Man, I'm about to call him some favors, man, see if we can get Mike Lewis onto the show. I should be quoting forthright and honest with you, Brandon. Mike Lewis has, again, brought some fire. And, you know what I'm saying, you know, that hasn't been around the Ball State basketball program in quite some time. Nothing against the former, you know what I'm saying, the former establishment, the folks who ran that. But, like, man, he's like day one out there, you know what I'm saying. It just gives a different vibe around the program. He's out, and he also, you know, then visited. I'm not saying it's nothing nobody else done, but it's something that hasn't been done up in Muncie in the Ball State program quite some time. He was out there, you know what I'm saying, yacking it up and you know, a little bit of trash talk, competitive trash talk with the football team. You know what I'm saying? He wants to put Ball State back in the same situation that Ball State football. Ball State football, you know, I guess I know people want to clown it, and they shouldn't, but Ball State football the last few years has had postseason success, you know what I'm saying, with a bowl game and MAC championships. So, Mike Lewis said he wants to put Ball State basketball kind of back on that map as well, winning the MAC title, winning the MAC tourney and getting to the tournament, man. You have to think that he has the will and know-how to do it. He's been at Butler. He's been in Nebraska. He's been in UCLA. He's been around some big-time programs. He played for, you know what I'm saying, the legendary coach Bob Knight. You know what I'm saying? He's like I said, he's bringing all that to Ball State University, man. I cannot be more ecstatic to see what kind of happened. Guess what, Brandon? Nobody has left. Nobody, I don't think, unless they were a senior, has left.
One person has.
One person has, okay, yeah. Because I know he turned one guy to come back to Ball State. Okay, well, you know what I'm saying, sucks for him. But, like, yeah. Nah, man, like I said, man, Ball State is going to be back on the basketball map here real soon. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Let's see here. We've got breaking news, John.
Uh-oh.
Out of the world of college basketball, former, and has local ties, former Purdue assistant basketball coach has a new head coaching gig. Any guesses as to who?
Since Shrewsbury's already in Purdue, I'm sure already in Penn State. So
it's not double B. Don't worry. It's not double B.
Well, I didn't think it was, man. I talked to him.
By the way, I hope he lets, whenever that happens, I hope he lets us break the news first.
Yeah, you know that ain't happening. That's going to get broken in West Lafayette first, man. And he's a rock star now. You know what I'm saying?
He needs to let us break it. That's what he needs to do.
Who's got a job?
John, Steve Lavin. Back. He is back coaching, head coaching college basketball.
Oh, wow.
Steve Lavin last coached. Yeah. Steve Lavin last coached at St. John's from 2010 to 2015. And the ladies been working with Fox Sports, Turner, Westwood One, and others. Steve Lavin is now head coach for San Diego, John. University of San Diego. Living that lavish lifestyle for Lavin.
Okay. You know, it was never, you know what I'm saying, when I think about Steve Lavin, it's never the fact that he couldn't coach, it's the fact that there was a lot of improprieties happening during his time and tenure at certain universities that he was the head coach of. But, like, man, no, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? I guess the TV money, you know what I'm saying, gets kind of boring or whatever, and you have that, you know, that thirst to get back into it, man. So congratulations to him.
Yep, absolutely. A little bit locally, John, Butler Bulldogs today introduced Thad Mata as their new head coach. Athletic Director Barry Collier today said that they were searching the globe for their next head coach, and then realized that he's just right. Well, the guy they needed was just right across the street where he lived. So, Steve, Thad Mata's back, second run at Butler, John. We were there yesterday. We got to go into Hinkle before all the kind of setup and the interviews were happening and stuff. So they introduced him today, and Thad Mata part two at Butler. He's averaged 26 wins per year in his career. So he's going to bring a little bit of jolt, I believe, into the Butler men's basketball program.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying, there's a side that's going to poo-poo it and say, man, they really did LaValle Jordan dirty. And I kind of agree with that. You know what I'm saying? They waited till his contract buyout was at a certain mark, you know what I'm saying, where that was school, where university was comfortable of paying it out or not, or rather not paying it out, his contract buyout. As far as not necessarily crying over spilled milk, I'm sure Mr. LaValle Jordan is a big boy. He'll find his way back to another program, probably even to another head coaching position, to be honest with you. But
he played for Thad. How about that?
Thad Mata absolutely back in the driver's seat here in Butler. Short turnaround. LaValle was fired on Friday. Thad Mata was shockingly announced on Monday. When I think about it, some of the other candidates that kind of were rumored about, whether it was Ronald Norad, who's with the assistant with the Pacers, and he's also did some time in Charlotte as an assistant and in Boston as an assistant. And then the other head coach of Ohio who worked underneath Thad. It's probably with some interest. I'm just speculating now. I'm not saying this is, factor or anything like that. It's probably with some interest from those candidates. Just maybe the timing was wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't really catch that press conference today. I know it was a pressure. He had a lot of pressure to the public today at 2:30 that I missed. I caught a little bit of it because, like, a conversation was asked since he now has just now left IU to come to Coach Butler. Has he had conversations about building his coaching staff? And there was obviously, the Dane Fife question is going to come up, as he's probably one of the more talented younger coaches, right? Assistants potentially that's out there that could possibly fill a void, a benching assistant coaching, on the benches or whatnot. So I expect, nothing but Jackson's flat out coach. This is be honest. And he's navigated the Big Ten, and he's navigated the Big East before. So you're right, and I do believe I hit tell Brandon. He's also like the all time leading coaching for wins in Ohio State basketball history. I do believe so. That main deal is probably to see what is there is going to be retained. I mean, I know it's crazy now. We're talking about young scholarship athletes, as who's going to stay and who's going to go. So, but he's probably going to see who's going to, who's going to potentially stay with the program. And then, he's probably going to be working the portal. The good thing about that, anybody who's from a Butler standpoint, fandom standpoint, is that Thad has been in front of it for at least a year, right? As an assistant AD in IU Bloomington. So, You kind of got to like the competitive scope of what is happening, overnight here in the Hoosier State. Purdue's still going to be – it's somewhat of a rebuild mode, but Purdue's still going to be, that team to beat either, for Bragg & Rice and for collegiate hoops here in Indiana, or potentially, a top 3, 4, 5 program in the Big Ten. Hell, I feel like they got nothing but Mr. Basketballs from Indiana, Mr. Basketballs on their roster from 1 through 7. I feel like that is, but you got to like what Ball State's done. You got to like what Butler has done. Butler, you know what I'm saying? Again, to, you know what I'm saying, just to lament on them. Butler doesn't want to be finishing bottom part of the Big East anymore. This year they finished second to last in the Big East. You know, and that's not they, you know, they unfortunately to, you know, they're not going to move back to the horizon. They're not going to move backwards to the American or anything like that. They want to stay and they want to compete in the Big East. The only way you get that is if you have better, you know what I'm saying, sideline preparation, if you have better player development. And I think that's what they're expecting out of that.
Yeah. I was trying to look up Butler real quick. Let me give me a second here, John. I'm trying to – I don't know why it's not pulling up on here. I was trying to look at Butler basketball, their class of 2022 for the recruiting.
Yeah, it's probably slim pickings. I know it was, at least when LaVal was there. That, I think they maybe had like one Indiana kid. I think he was Indiana All-Star. But it's kind of slim pickings on who was coming through that door to come play for Butler. So,
yeah, I'm through the top 70 right now. I haven't found Butler yet. Well, through the top, so look, Hoosiers, they're number 23. Xavier Johnson just got busted this weekend. He had himself a Final Four crazy weekend. Got arrested for disorderly contact with a police officer and something else. So it'll be interesting to see what this play action happened to Xavier Johnson, your second leading scorer. He had one more year left of eligibility at Indiana as the Hoosiers bring in the number 23rd ranked recruiting class this next season.
Is the 23rd in the nation?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
They have Jalen Hood-Schifino, who is a five-star. He is top 20 overall in the country. They've got him coming in, a 6'5" guard out of Florida. Caleb Banks from Fayetteville, Georgia, a four-star forward. And then obviously C.J. Gunn, a three-star here out of Indianapolis, 6'4" guard.
Okay. The Xavier Johnson incident is unfortunate, but it's unfortunate that it's all on him. The only thing good that can be said about it is the fact that nobody was injured. Everything else involved in that particular incident is going to be negative. I can't really put it into any type of positive light, because not only were you spending 90 in what I do believe is a, you know, say a village, like a student village like area in Bloomington, but whoever you were with, y'all tried to pull a fast one on the authorities, and Xavier Johnson didn't try to say that the other person was driving. So again, what are we really doing? I know there's going to be a lot of people, and again, I'm all for giving student athletes and people of all walks of life, man, second chances. But like, man, like how many? And I get it. This kid has got some talent. You know what I mean? You know, he can't shoot. Sometimes you take too many shots that you don't like, right? But like, man, like what are we down there doing in Bloomington? You know what I'm saying? We're being reckless. We're not thinking. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else who does this, it's just, you know, we're really not talking about it. But you know what I'm saying? Xavier Johnson, you play for IU basketball. You have to understand that. All eyes are on you. You're not necessarily like LeBron James, where when you sneeze, everybody's wondering if you use the right brand of tissue paper. But again, man, you know what I'm saying, boneheaded mistakes, and you know what I'm saying, even like, you know, everything that kind of comes up, like why'd you walk out on your pit team? All those things kind of come up every time he has an incident. It might be even unrelated, Brandon, but it comes up. He was one of the guys that got suspended for staying out too late. There, y'all said that nobody was tested positive for marijuana. Cool, but yet still, you got suspended for a game that cost you potentially. Like, y'all was on the bubble. That's the team that y'all. It's the team that y'all lost. If he plays, you know what I'm saying, him and other guys play, they beat Northwestern. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying, a lot of incidents always follow Xavier Johnson, and this is just another, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote black eye that he's kind of put himself in. So. I don't know if the school gives them another chance, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, or if they feel like it's too much of a headache for them to deal with, you know. sometimes, you know what I'm saying, it's easier just to cut ties with a person instead of trying to help them for whatever reason, you know what I mean? That particular program knows David Johnson more than any media person, or even me. I just know what I see, what I've seen. And, like, we see red flag. And, you know what I'm saying, it's sometimes, man, you know what I mean, it's okay. Like, you know, you're in a privileged position, sir. You know what I'm saying? You can't have red flags, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. John, we talked about this yesterday when we were at Butler, and one of our Facebook listeners put on there, Xavier is going to have a huge jump next year in the Big East. The Big East, I told John, has got a smorgasbord of coaches the Big East is going to be secretly good next year. Obviously, you have Thad, you have Shaka Smart, you've got Sean Miller that's back at Xavier, you've got Jay Wright, you've got McDermott, you've got Ed Cooley, who was National Coach of the Year. Big East is going to be tough, a tough conference next year, but yeah, local, besides Butler, you know, Xavier's gets Sean Miller back, alma mater. We'll see how long that lasts there before another investigation happens. But thoughts on Butler, John, I guess the Big East Conference itself, as it's kind of becoming a who's who of coaches there.
Again, it's that East Coast money, you know.
Butler should be there.
I don't, just because of who they have to still recruit against, you know what I mean? And because of the close proximity of how people view Butler basketball historically in the state of Indiana. Historically in the state of Indiana, Butler plays other Butler mid-major programs, and then they like are basically right. They eradicate them, or they go 20-2, and then or 21-2, whatever, and they get to the tournament, and then they have to face some big boy, a high major, and then they beat them, right? So you're not, but like in Big East play, even though Villanova is probably technically per student population a mid-major, dude, they're a blue blood. You know what I mean? Jay Wright, how many championships Jay Wright got? Three, I do believe. That's blue blood territory. Two, shame on me. I thought he had three.
He had a chance.
Right. So, but still, two championships within the last, you know, saying 10 years or so, they're a blue blood. It's pretty good. Like, and you said it. Providence is always knocking on the door as far as Big East, you know what I'm saying, Big East championships are concerned. They were real good this year. UConn is always knocking on the door as far as we know this. They're technically a blue blood that hasn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, shown their colors here lately, because they've had a couple coach changes and even some coaching controversies, right? Everybody remembers Kevin Ollie being dismissed. But again, they're a blue blood, UConn, Villanova, you know. And at some point, you know what I'm saying, they thought Patrick Ewing was the guy. And it's not necessarily that he's a bad guy, a bad coach, I don't think. I think the talent pool and what he maybe is trying to do with that particular talent pool is not necessarily moving the meter for him just yet. But, like, yeah, man, that's a hell of a conference when you think about who's coming, who's the players that are playing there and the coaches that are coaching there. So you can't sit and wait and thinking, like, the development. If you have a quote-unquote two piss-poor seasons. And I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying, speaking about LaBav's last two seasons, were piss-poor and, you know, just un-Butler-like. They would have maybe a big win here, they beat Purdue here, or, you know what I'm saying, this year they beat Oklahoma, but technically it's a down year for Oklahoma, so everybody should have beat Oklahoma, right?
Yep.
But, you know, this is not necessarily a good enough wins. Again, the conference is getting better, and, you know what I'm saying, and not necessarily enough wins from a Butler standpoint. So there you go. I don't necessarily think Sean McDermott – Sean Miller finds himself in hot water like he did when he went to Arizona. I really don't. I think the pressure – this is, you know what I'm saying, I think the pressure to win out in Arizona versus – and I'm not saying there's pressure in there. There's pressure to win the Big East, too. But the pressure to win in Arizona versus the pressure to win at a school like Xavier, for him, it's maybe an apple and orange comparison. It's not necessarily the same. It's a fruit, but it's not necessarily the same. So, but again, he's not coming to lose. He's not coming just to rest his laurels or anything. So, and now we have NIL money available. He doesn't necessarily have to go on, you know what I'm saying, burner phones to try to get, you know what I'm saying, talent like he was trying to get down there out in Arizona to come to Xavier. So, definitely, like I said, the Big East is on his way back up.
Let me ask you this. LSU fires their head coach right before the NCAA tournament, so they have an interim coach. It's a lot of turmoil. Will Wade had a big, huge investigation down there. John, they currently have no players on scholarship. The 12 of the 14 players on the roster all went into the NCAA portal, transfer portal. Mm. So if you're LSU now, you've got your new head coach. He was able to get one transfer in from the portal, but it's a damn mess down there in Baton Rouge with LSU basketball. The fact you couldn't keep any of the team, the entire team is completely transferred.
Yeah. I'll say this, Brandon. It ain't necessarily all gloom and doom. It's gonna be a year or probably 2 years of building to get that program built back up to any type of like even 500 level of basketball, right? Some players are gonna want to come to. I mean, you know, this like over 2,000 players, some crazy man, something like that, in the portal. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't gonna make it to Kentucky. Calipari don't want everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? As much as IU maybe needs some players to fill out some of the transfers and some of IU doesn't want everybody. So, you know what I'm saying? Some of the more established programs or high profile programs, they're not taking it's crazy. Some of those kids that's in this portal, they ain't gonna have no school to go to, Brandon. You know what I mean?
Nine players as well today. Between yesterday and today, nine players have entered the transfer portal also from SEC Georgia.
Well, how good are they when they got their coach fired? But again, I'm not here to run down any young basketball player trying to, you know what I'm saying? I hope we don't get, I know we're shifting gears or whatever, but I hope we not get into a point where all guys think about is what's the quickest way I can get to the league? When you tell me, okay, I even temper down. I go with last year's number, Brandon. 1,400 players last year were in the transfer portal, right? 1,400 players. That's 1,400 players. Dude, even if you thought, I'm trying to think, even if you got, you know what I'm saying, got a little time and averaged 10 points, I'm picking on Keon Brooks. Keon Brooks turned pro. Well, he put his name in the NBA draft. Keon Brooks averaged 10 points and like, I think, 3 rebounds this year in Kentucky. He's played 3 seasons in Kentucky. He's shown steady pace of growth every year there, right? I think he had a year where he was hurt, but he's shown year growth every year that he was there. But if you're telling me that you're not even dominant at your position, you know what I'm saying, at a Kentucky, and you know what kind of system, Coach Kyle plays down there. If you're telling me that you average 7 points at, I don't know, Georgia, and you only won, and as a team, you only won 5 games, you think your 7 points are somehow going to transform into 20 points or 25 points if you go to a mid-American school or you know what I'm saying, another high major? No. Sometimes you might just be just a role player. I get what you thought what you were in college, if anybody's listening, high school, if anybody's listening, and you know say you might have been a great superstar player in high school, but this is a one up level. You know? Sometimes, yes, coaches, you know what I'm saying, you get to a school and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. That plays too. But there's a lot of guys out here thinking that a coach or a school or a program can turn what they've done year, 2 years or whatever into their shit into wine. And it's not, dude, that's not the case. We're going to have, next year it's going to be 3,000 for real.
it's like NBA, it's like free agency basically is what it's like. I'm sorry. I was just reading a text message I got trying to figure that out. John, I want to dive into NBA. That was the Lakers yesterday. Season is basically over. And in fact, Magic Johnson decides to come out and say, hey, they had a chance to get DeMar DeRozan, a chance to get player X, player Y. But they said LeBron wanted to go with Russ, and next thing you know, it was Russ. So it ain't us, the Lakers, that complain about. It's LeBron.
I want to get you. I really want you to know what you think about it. I've been already called a LeBron apologist. So what I'll say firstly, LeBron James has to have some ownership. Have some ownership over this situation. Okay, I'm saying it. I'm saying that first, but I'd be damned if LeBron James really has that much power. Then what the frick is Rob Pelinka, like a figurehead? Rob Pelinka is general manager and vice president of basketball operations, right? I'll get to Frank Vogel here in a second because I know people's like, man, what about Frank Vogel? But again, if LeBron says, yo, I want to play with Russ and I want to play with Dwight. That's two players out of how many, 16? And I get the AD, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But that's two players out of 16.
Real
what about the other
Street
players? Street club, that's funny. There's some other spots on that roster, right? But DeRozan has been having a great season. You know what I'm saying? If anybody remembers, like you don't even remember his two seasons in San Antonio. He was all but forgotten. Right, this has been a real comeback season for him here in Chicago. I even had him as far as being a potential. I had him in the top five MVP candidates. He's more four and five than he is one or two, in my justification. But he's had that kind of a season this year. Could he have helped the Lakers? Absolutely. You're talking about Buddy Hield? Maybe. Buddy Hield's a serviceable shooter. The Pacers got him out here probably playing more minutes than the Lakers probably would and doing, you know what I'm saying, and extended doing more things than the Lakers would, but he would be a piece. He probably fits that particular team. Him and DeRozan probably picked that particular team better than Russ. But again, if you tell me I'm trading away who? Kuzma? Who? KCP? To get an MVP candidate? And we need to, a former MVP, right? You do that trade every time. Unfortunately, it didn't work because LeBron and Russ need shooters to play with because they're so ball dominant, and Russ and LeBron from a spacing standpoint didn't work. Okay, people, we get it. You were right this time because everybody's a general manager in the offseason. You, me, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everybody's a general manager in the offseason. They are. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. And I want to get on the pieces that went to Washington because, Washington probably should be thinking about, damn, we should have kept Russ because at least we was in the play-in tournament. At least we was in the playoff contention with Russ. Hell, we got Kuzma and Montrez. And hell, they traded Montrez already. He's gone. So don't tell me about the pieces they got were like shiny diamonds because they're not. You know what I mean? But back to the Lakers, because I don't want to be point figure. Here's what's funny, Brandon. Would Magic Johnson have a little bit of axe to grind? Just a little bit, wouldn't he? Remember, he didn't necessarily leave the Lakers on good terms this last time out. Now, did he? I don't like,
no.
Again, this is brought to me, again, Magic Johnson goes on ESPN and airs out Laker dirty laundry. Guess what? There's another side of Laker fandom that remembers, not me, because, again, my fandom ain't Laker. You know what I mean? If anybody knows me, there's another side of Laker fandom that was like, man, doesn't Magic Johnson got a little bit of axe to grind? Reminded me that Magic Johnson might just have a little bit of axe to grind when it comes to making the Lakers, how bad the Lakers look. Again, Magic Johnson loves Lakers. Magic Johnson was at one point himself vice president of basketball operations. Magic Johnson is also the same person who got into an argument with Jenny Buss. Did he not? Over a power struggle over Jenny Buss and how messy that was. Magic Johnson also was a guy that got fined $50,000 when he was talking about Giannis on Antetokounmpo on Jimmy Kimmel, or I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, but on somebody's late night talk show, and it was like openly talking, you know what I'm saying, tampering. Matt Johnson's also the guy that drafted Lonzo Ball over Jason Tatum. So again, man, you know, these are things that were by Laker fans. They reminded me that, man, you know what, Magic going up there airing out our dirty laundry, it ain't good for the brand. You know, here's what's weird, Brandon.
That's interesting because I almost think the Lakers asked Magic to save face for the organization by having him go out there and say this. And as a good deed, Magic said, absolutely.
That can't make the organization look bad. It makes them look like they don't know. It makes them look like either A, it makes them, well, okay, again, he's the favorite son. Again, I never, Magic Johnson loves the Lakers. Magic Johnson loves the Lakers, right? Let's make that clear. But that breakup between him and Jenny Buss, and when they brought Kobe in, right? I ain't forgot. Kobe brought in Rob Pelinka. Again, we're talking like this is like One Life to Live, or Young and the Restless. It's like a soap opera drama. Rob Pelinka is Kobe Bryant's guy. Nobody wants to say that. Again, you know what I'm saying, because nobody's going to talk bad about Kobe. He's not here no more. God rest his soul, right? But at some point, everybody is accountable. Magic Johnson going on ESPN, again, man, it's like Aaron. To me, it's like Aaron Doherty Laundry. But again, he's with the Lakers, but he ain't with the Lakers. He's not getting paid by the Lakers directly anymore. You know what I'm saying? So he goes out there and says all these, you know what I'm saying, hyperbolic comments. It makes LeBron look bad. It makes Rob Pelinka look bad. I'm going in order. I'm saying it makes LeBron look bad first. It makes Rob Pelinka look bad, and it makes Frank Vogel look like he really wasn't coaching the team at all. And it makes it look like all you folks were just ungrateful for the championship that they won just 2 years ago. So, I get it. There's a lot of stress that kind of comes along with dealing with LeBron James. You know what, Brandon? Jay Williams said something, and again, I want to get your whole take on this. Jay Williams said something this morning, and that's really like the only like other sports media that I've listened to. He said LeBron James challenges people's former players' legacy and fans, like who they root for. Because, Brandon, is he not knocking on the door of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the scoring title, in the over, not necessarily this year's scoring title, but the overall scoring title? Yeah, so, you know, if I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and my scoring title is the last 30-some years, you know what I'm saying, and that's kind of what I, you know what I'm saying.
Do you think Kareem really cares, though, honestly?
Yep, I do.
You really do.
They had a little dust up this past week in the media, and Kareem came back and said, yo, you know what I'm saying, because, you know what I'm saying, the media knows how to turn and twist things. I do think Kareem got to do the bar at some point. All these dudes, all at Brandon, I love athletics, I love sports, but all athletes come with a little bit, as most people do, most athletes come with a little bit of edge and a little bit of ego. They do care about being in the Hall of Fame. They do care about their stats. They do care about being number one. They do. So, again, Brandon, I know I'm getting in trouble. Why do people, they didn't want LeBron James to come to L.A. because they thought that, oh, man, he comes over here, people are going to love him and not Kobe. Or if he comes here and wins, you know what I'm saying, it challenges. There's no way that can be challenged. LeBron, you should have been happy. Open arms. LeBron's here, boom. You know where LeBron goes, playoff goes, championship goes, you know what I'm saying, filled out, packed out arenas. All those things kind of come with LeBron James. That's the truth. That ain't going to never take nothing away from Kobe or Shaq. Nothing. It just only adds to the history of the Lakers. My old self, Laker hater number one, would have said, like, man, you got to be kidding me. That's the first thing I said. I didn't think he'd leave Cleveland. But when you think about it, Cleveland, Ohio, to go to Los Angeles, absolutely. You do that every time. You know what I mean? Whether you won a championship there or not, whether you got two houses on the lake or not, on Lake Erie or not. Okay? Okay, Brandon, let me ask you this. Why do people in Chicago don't like LeBron, or fans of Michael Jordan? Why don't they like LeBron James? You know why? He's the only one that when the media said he's the chosen one, who else has got the chosen one moniker? Penny Hardaway, injured too early, you know what I'm saying? Too early before.
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, you know what I'm saying? Boom. Grant Hill, all these people, Vince Carter, all these people were given the moniker of the next one, and they had great careers. Some of them all stars, some of them, you know what I'm saying, rookie of the year, some of them MVPs, but never nothing like Michael Jordan. Right? So when somebody says, yo, this kid could be the next, and then this kid actually does things that Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, on the same level, I'm not going to say what's greater, what's better. It's not for me to determine. But he does the things on the same level and then wins championships here, wins championships there, wins championships here. People, it rubs people the wrong way because you're challenging the legacy of Michael Jordan. It's still, but guess what, Brandon, and anybody listening to this is rubbed the wrong way. But what I'm saying, it still wouldn't be better in your mind than Michael Jordan because, again, Michael Jordan's undefeated in the finals. LeBron just went to 10. You know what I'm saying? However you want to spin it. Undefeated in the final, went to 10. What's better? I don't know. Right? You know what I'm saying? But I know other NBA greats have went to finals and whatnot and not necessarily won either. You know what I mean? But, again, he challenges teams' legacies, teams' people's fandoms. And it, like I said, it often just runs around. Again, man, this dude, if he sneezes and don't use puffs, somebody's got a problem with it. And I think it's bull. But, again, I go back to my first point. He owns this 37-win team, and how many ever many losses they have. He owns that, right? But, again, Magic Johnson going on, you know what I'm saying, the worldwide leader of sports, does them no favors by basically airing out their dirty little laundry. No, he does not.
Okay. Woo! Man, you were heated about this Lakers.
Well, listen here, man. People think I'm a LeBron apologist. I want LeBron to, and I get into a Reggie. The Pacers ain't trying to win, right? We can't get LeBron James because he's like, man, y'all ain't. It'll just be me and who else, right? Because don't nobody, again, you know what I'm saying? Much everybody cares about Michael Jordan didn't win them championships by itself. Larry Bird didn't win them championships by itself. Magic Johnson, as great as it is, didn't win them championships by itself. It takes other great players to win championships. You still got to fill out a competent roster around said championship players, but still. You got to have an alpha. You got to have also a 1B or a 1C. You know what I mean? And, again, man, I lose my mind when people act like these players don't have control over their rosters. LeBron James made a bad trade, right? But, again, who the frick is Kyle Kuzma? Was he even on the all-rookie team? Again, I'm not trying to shit on part of my friend. I'm not trying to crap on Kyle Kuzma. But when the trade talks was to open up this summer about Kyle Kuzma, and I asked you, you said no. I don't want no Kyle Kuzma, right? You know what I mean? As far as like a young piece to come with Miles Turner, who needs two head cases when you already got one? You know what I mean? So again, man, let's move along to the next topic, man. I've already been called out my name today and yesterday because people think I'm a LeBron James apologist, and I'm like, dude, all I hit you with is facts. If you can't handle the facts, then you just can't handle. You better just deal with the rest of the comedy meme team that does those things because I don't do that. Sorry. I want my damn respect, too.
As LeBron's saying, he wants his damn respect, too. So, John, let's dive in. We got to do it. We do it every time. The NBA draft tankathon. Our Indiana Pacers, where are we going to be at? John, we're right now one game back of fourth. We've lost 8 straight games, so we're one game back of Oklahoma City, tying them. I'm not sure what the tiebreaker goes to because we split the season series, but we're one game back with 2 to go against Oklahoma City, so we can move up to a 4. If we lose both of our last games and Detroit wins their games, we have a chance to move to 3rd, possibly.
Okay.
But that's kind of where we're at right now. We're going to do the NBA tankathon. So we're going to play our draft. Where we got it. All right, John. The mock draft is out. Where are the Pacers going to be? All right. With the 3rd pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Indiana Pacers select Paolo Banchero, Duke University. So, Curry. Now we have Paolo Banchero to the Pacers at number 3. Your thoughts?
Wow.
With Banchero coming to Indiana, how he would fit in with? I guess you kind of right now got to look at it with makeup of the current team before you see what changes the Pacers make?
They need to draft Pablo Banchero, but I think he goes number one, if not number two, quite honestly. I know folks around here are going to say Jaden Ivey should be number one. Jaden Ivey did not look like a number one overall draft pick. And I know it's only one game. He did not look like an overall draft pick against St. Peter's. Right? He looked like a guy that pouted. He looked like a guy that was out of control. He looked like a guy that was athletic, you know what I'm saying, enough to play in the NBA. And given some of the, you know what I'm saying, some of the things, some of the highlights from the rest of this season, I think he could potentially play at an all-star level in a couple years once he makes a roster and he gets more mature. And I'm talking about basketball maturity. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying, personal maturity. I think he actually is pretty mature in that regard. But once he gets to basketball maturity, you might have a multi-time all-star. If the Pacers are picking third, Brandon, I don't think Banchero's there. I think you're looking at Chet Holmgren more so than a Banchero. Because, again, I think and I know what NBA draft, .com draft.net might say, and I know what CBS Sports.com does a draft where they change mock drafts, they change it up from week to week. I just see Pablo probably going one, and Jaden Ivey probably going second or third. The kid from Auburn probably goes pretended upon, you know, like you said, team need, probably goes second or third himself. So the Pacers might be looking at the kid from Auburn, but the Pacers really do need to, you got to start thinking about filling the void that was left. We got enough guards, at the wazoo, whether it's the ones we got in the trade with Sacramento that brought the kid from Iowa State, brought him over. But we also got to figure out, the Pacers also got to figure out what they're going to do with Malcolm Brogdon. But there's a void that's going to be left when they don't offer Goga Batati a contract. There's a void that's still left when, how do you replace the production, how do you replace the production that Sabonis left, you know what I'm saying, once he got traded. And then, you know, if they want to play more athletic, you know what I'm saying, what does that kind of look like? You know, again, if they better try to lose. I mean, I don't believe in tanking at all. And they better hope, and I think the Pacers are definitely setting themselves up to potentially pick one or two. But if you tell me they're picking third or fourth, then they're probably going to be in the Chet Holmgren sweepstakes, not necessarily the Banchero sweepstakes. And again, I know you're not necessarily in love with Chet Holmgren's body type and style of play, but I think that's where we'll be looking at if we're picking fourth through five.
Looking down a little bit further at the 31st pick, they have the Pacers taking Oscar Tishwebe. I can't even say his last name from Kentucky. Tishwebe, 19 points, 17 rebounds per game. They have him taking the Pacers at number 31.
Yeah, that kid's got a motor, man. He's won the Naismith Player of the Year this year. That kid's got a motor. What you like about him is that, you know what I'm saying, he rebounds well defensively and offensively. What you don't necessarily like is that, can he play stretch four, or is he more of an undersized center? And if he is an undersized center, can he defend centers who are a little bit taller than him, bigger than him? So, but I wouldn't be mad at that pick at that particular time. I would not.
Okay.
Three foolish men hide behind a fake name forever. Just you're a fraud. Just stop.
John, forever. You've been hiding behind a fake name. Looking at NBA MVP candidates, we're in the final week. I think it's got to be Embiid, right? I mean, based on just kind of his performance, how his numbers have been this year, kind of where the 76ers are at. I know necessarily you're not a believer in Doc Rivers. There's rumor about Doc Rivers going to the Lakers. I know you said that there's been some drama that you've been hearing in the 76er locker room with the team, which I haven't seen. But by the way, I missed out on a parlay for last night on James Harden not getting at least 4 rebounds, which I thought was going to be a surefire thing. He had 0 rebounds last night, James Harden. 0.
Mr. Undependable. Don't ever depend upon him, James Harden, for anything other than just in the fact that he's going to jack up a couple shots, make a couple great passes, not play defense, and there you go. That's James Harden. Hey, man, I don't know, Brandon. I got some more conversations, not necessarily heated or debates this today. Like I said, just here recently on Twitter, 3 Foolish Men. Joel Embiid has put up a lot of monster points, man. He looks like an unstoppable force. He's like a mixture. He says he's a mixture between Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh.
And on nights like he had, last night against the Pacers, and even like the couple nights before against Cleveland, man, I think he put up 44 against Cleveland. I think he had 39 against the Pacers last night. You damn near can't really refute what, you know, saying that boast between Shaq and Kobe. He's missing some hardware there, right? This would be, if he does get the MVP trophy, you know what I'm saying, it might legitimize a little bit of that boast. I still think it might be between him and Giannis. Giannis is the quiet, I'm not saying Joel Embiid is the crap talker or whatever, you know what I'm saying, not so much anymore, but Giannis, you know what I'm saying, it's just a steady, he's not the scoring leader this year that Joel is, but Giannis is still steady, 20-some points, double-digit boards, and, you know, I think he's raised the assist level up again this year from where it was last year. So, and then where's the team at? Teams, like, I do believe, like, second in the standings. So, again, I think, and then in the head-to-head, I think the Bucks as a team, and I know it's, you know, it's a team versus team, and I think and the 3 times that they play, I do believe the Bucks are up 2-1. And if anybody remembers just a little week ago, that big block that Giannis put on, that was monster. That big block, then that was like game winning. But again, Joel Embiid has had a season where he just kind of tore the league a new ear from an impact standpoint. If he don't show up, that team can't win. So if you look at it like that being the MVP. I wouldn't be mad at either if either one of them won it. I would still edge it to Joel Embiid, but I would not be shocked if they call Giannis' name for the MVP at the end of the season. I will be shocked. Joker's got a puncher's chance too, but I don't think he'll get as many votes as either Giannis or Joel at all.
Okay. We're gonna do a quick ad read, John. We come back. We're going to talk Masters golf action coming up this week, starting tomorrow. So when we come back from these ad reads,
you've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Marsh Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check us out today at maverickscustommotorsports.com. As I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle build, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels, and more. They carry all the top brands and much more. Give them a call today at 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out online, maverickscustommotorsports.com, and let them know that Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank our third sponsor. That would be Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman Logistics, they're your Amazon delivery, dedicated to your successful deliveries of your package, 365 days, 7 days 365 days a year, 7 days a week. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-444-2212. That's 877-444-2212. Wiseman Logistics. And they are hiring still, looking for drivers.
Okay. All right, John, we are back, and we're going to dive right in to Masters talk. The Masters, one of the greatest golf tournaments, Augusta National, starts tomorrow. We've had practice on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's been hampered by severe storms down there the last 2 days. A buddy of mine, former podcast, came on the podcast, Corey White. They went down there. I just got my Masters swag today from them that they purchased for me. Talked about how magnificent the course is, how fake it looks, just how there's not a blade of grass that's out of place. There is not a flower that's out of place. There is not a pine straw that has not been combed correctly. It looks in top-notch shape. Looking into this tournament, John, we've got several storylines. Tiger Woods is back. Tiger is going to give it a go. He tees off at 10:30 tomorrow morning. Tiger coming back after that horrific car accident just over a year ago, back in February of 21. Tiger's going to give it a go. He said he's playing well. He's been walking great. We've got Tiger Woods. John, just some of the names. I'll go through the sportsbook odds. Right now, the main favorite to win is John Rahm. John Rahm is at 10-1. 10-1 odds for John Rahm. Scotty Scheffler, who is right now the current world's number one golfer. He's won three out of the last four times, three times so far this season. He's propelled as world's number one golfer right now. Scotty Scheffler at 12-1. Justin Thomas, 12-1. Cameron Smith, the Australian, who dazzled last year in Augusta Nationals at 14-1. Dustin Johnson, your 2020 Masters champion, is at 16-1. Xander Schauffele at 220-1. Victor Hovland, 20-1. Colin Morikawa, who's won two majors, he's 20-1 odds. Rory McIlroy, still trying to look for his first Masters, for him to complete the Grand Slam, he's at 20-1. Brooks Koepka, four-time major champion, still looking for his first Masters, he's at 20-1. Jordan Spieth, former Masters champion, he's completed the Grand Slam. I think he's at the PGA Championship. He's still got to win. But Jordan Spieth, 22-1. Patrick Cantlay, who won the FedEx Cup last year, 25-1. Defending champion Hideki Matsuyama, coming in at 35-1. He's coming off an injury coming in this year. Tiger Woods at 40-1 to win, which is a great value if you want to put some money down on DraftKings. If somehow you put money down and somehow he withdraws and he doesn't finish in top 5, top 10, or top 20, and he withdraws, you get your money back. So I think that's a great bet you could look at. Bryson DeChambeau at 45-1, and you're wondering about Bryson. Bryson's coming in with double injuries, John. He's got a lower back. He's got a back injury as well as a wrist injury, or excuse me, lower leg injury, and as well as a left wrist injury. So Bryson's been hitting gingerly so far this week from what I've been watching, but he's coming in playing a little bit injured. And then the last one I saw that really kind of made a difference was Tony Finau at 60-1 going into this weekend. Tiger to make the cut is -115. I think personally Tiger does make the cut this weekend. I think he can do just enough for the first round and second round for him to put himself in a good position for him to make the cut. I like Jordan Spieth to be your first round leader after the first round tomorrow. He's done it twice already before. I can see him playing really, really well. Bernard Langer as well, the 60-year-old from Germany. He's been up top of that leaderboard the first couple rounds of the Masters always. So I think Bernard Langer could be another one up there. Looking at possible winners, John, who I'm going to put some money on to possibly win it this year. I'm going to put some on Patrick Cantlay. I think Patrick Cantlay, he's had kind of a quiet start to the season. I think Patrick Cantlay can make some noise. Brooks Koepka, I'm putting good on Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka steps up in major tournaments. This is a major one for Brooks. I'd like to see him win this. And I think silently, people aren't talking about Dustin Johnson. With the way the course is, right, the way it's going to be playing with it being wet and the ball is going to be flying off that tee with the humidity, he just won 2 years ago, Dustin Johnson, in 2020 in November. I like Dustin Johnson here as well to possibly put his name in there by the time it gets around to that fourth round on Sunday afternoon. Rory, I just don't think he's – I think he's content. And, you know, you talk about Morikawa. I know you're a big fan of Morikawa. I just don't like the way he's playing as of late. His putting has not been there lately. And that's the biggest thing is putting here at the here at Augusta National with the angulation of these greens. You have to be a good greens reader here with the way these layouts are on some of these on these hole locations. So I'm not a big fan of Morikawa this week, but definitely looking forward to the Masters. John, you have any thoughts there while I'm kind of going scrubbing through my notes still?
No, the only thing I can add to it, man, I think we're all kind of aligned on what you just said. Jordan Spieth, where are you, man? They need to put a bat signal out for Jordan Spieth, man. We haven't really seen or heard of, you know what I'm saying? He was on a trajectory. He was on a trajectory to be like the next Tiger Woods young guy winning majors early, big majors early, and they kind of fallen by the wayside. I obviously the world's going to be watching Tiger Woods again. We all know where he was at just a year ago, a horrific car accident. We all know him repairing, his image and, trying to get it focused back on, the outside of off the golf course distractions and getting back into it again. Well, we do know we do recall him winning the Masters, surprisingly, I would say, we can say that back in 2019, I do believe. But again, for him just to even be, a quote unquote, go from a game time decision just a week ago to be playing in the Masters is something, crazy about his will to want to excel at this level. He wants to, win as major as humanly possible before he, the body, ultimately just breaks down and he can't really compete at a high level. I can't necessarily see him, Brandon, I know, don't choke me. I can't see him making the cut. I can't, Again, my golf knowledge, it's probably a thimble to compare it to yours and, some other folks that kind of listen to our show for golf knowledge. But, again, man, I just can't see it. That's a lot to overcome in such a short time. And I'm not saying Tiger hasn't overcome a lot, in his career, but I just can't see him making the cut. You bring up a name like Justin Johnson. I like his name being bantied around as far as winning this Masters tournament. You bring up the name John Rahm. I like his name also, particularly winning this tournament. Colin Morikawa. Yeah, I know. Still a little young, wet behind the ears a little bit as far as winning this particular tournament. I think he maybe could potentially finish in the top three, maybe, right? Cross our fingers. But, again, man, something like I said, Brooks Koepka, I wouldn't be surprised if he's right there too come Sunday. But, like, no, nah, man, I like some of the names. Like I said, Dustin Johnson and John Rahm to ultimately win the Masters this year.
A couple feelers, if you want to put some money out there on some guys, top tens, or even, you're getting a good value on these guys. Daniel Berger, Berger's best finish was 10th back in 2016. He missed the cut last year, but also Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, several of these guys missed the cut last year themselves. If you remember right, there was a significant goldfish cutout. Paul Casey's tied for fourth in 2016. Casey always seems to have a good run when he's here. I like a couple of young guys, John. Sam Burns. Sam Burns is making his first appearance. He's lit up the PGA Tour the last 18 months. I like Sam Burns to have himself a good run there. I like Corey Connors as well. Corey Connors, he's been there four times. He's made the cut three of the four times. He finished eighth last year. And then Corey Connors, if you're doing DraftKings, he's going to be a big name to look at. I think a lot of people are going to put him, Corey Connors, on their list. Another one I like, John, another rookie, Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch is making his first appearance from Midwest City, Oklahoma. I think he could have a good run. He's had a good early 22 season. But sometimes, these young guys, when they go to Augusta, it's a whole different beast for them. So it'll be interesting to see. One of my favorites I like to see, Max Homa. He's made it twice. He's played there twice. He hasn't made a cut yet. So I'm hoping Max Homa makes the cut this year, be able to go to that second day in the weekend. We talked about Dustin Johnson. Obviously, there's no Phil Mickelson this weekend. He withdrew, saying he would not come this weekend. John, my big question somebody asked me is, do I feel like another Asian or Japanese golfer could win this week? I think there is. If you had to look at the talent and to put some money on one, I think Sungjo Im I would take to win this. I like the way he's played. Siwoo Kim, 5 appearances, 4 cuts made. His best finish was 12th last year, 26 years old. He shot 64 final round earlier this year for his 3rd PGA Tour win of his career. He likes playing here. He's made his cut 4 out of the last. I like him on some things this weekend as well. And then Will Zalatoris. Zalatoris finished 2nd last year to Hideki Matsuyama. Will Zalatoris, he was a rookie, and he finished 2nd last year. So it can happen for these rookies. I expect mm-hmm. him to have another good round. His low round was 68. He also followed it up with a tied for 6th at the 2020 U.S. Open, tied for 8th at the 21 PGA Championship. This guy knows how to play. This kid knows how to play majors and is unfazed by it. So I like Will Zalatoris as well to have himself. And I think I said, John, you know, with the DJ talk and with Brooks Koepka, I said it, you have to put some money on JT, Justin Thomas. You have to. You have to at least look his way. He's made 6 cuts here at the Masters. His best finish last year, he finished tied for 21st, but he's finished 4th in 2020. JT's 28. He's been in the top 25 of all his finishes at Augusta National. I like the way he's been playing. I think JT, this could be the year. If it's not Brooks, it's Justin Thomas to win the Masters and take on that green jacket. So excited. I always love the Masters. Hopefully I get tickets for next year. I get into the lottery, I can get it. But we get the Masters kicking off tomorrow morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock. The weather looks good, a little wind as it kind of goes in through Friday to Saturday. And then we'll get a finish up on Sunday, which is always magical.
Yeah, I won't necessarily be glued. It'll be on, man. You know, golf, to me, watching golf, is, I'm not saying it's not interesting, but like it's kind of like a background where you look up, check, you know what I'm saying, see, you know what I'm saying, where guys got to put themselves in a trap or not, or if guys, you know what I'm saying, who's on the leaderboard, that type of thing. So definitely a little bit more, I won't say by comparison. I put in the same comparison from a spectator sport. I know I'm going to get in trouble, Brandon. Please don't tell Coach Fleck from Boston University. Man, I put golf in the same lane as I put Indy racing. You know what I mean? It'll be on. I'll be paying attention. And then, like I said, I'll be checking for my favorite. But if my favorite is, like, out of it, then, you know what I'm saying, my interest is kind of waning. I know. Shame on me.
Interesting. Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. There are 2 games that are postponed for weather. Red Sox and Yankees, the Twins game. I'm just excited for baseball to be back. I'm excited for it to be betting on it. I don't really have, you know, my Reds are pretty basically out of it already, and the season hasn't even started. So there's not much to look forward to on that front this year. But you've got your top teams, Dodgers, Astros, Yankees. You know, I think I like the Rockies, the way the Rockies are going to look this year, getting themselves some Chris Bryant in there. Albert Pujols is going back to the Cardinals for his final run, but yeah, Pujols, I think he's a scumbag himself personally.
Yeah, considering
did you see
come
his,
out
did
about
you
him.
See what he's done? Yeah, scumbag.
Yeah, divorced his wife just after she fought a battle with brain cancer. Like man, bad. This bad.
But it wasn't as much that as John as his comments. He said, I know this is bad timing, .. with the season starting and all. I think there's bad timing for something else.
Yeah, bad timing, period, bro. I don't know, man. He's actually kind of been done from a, you know what I'm saying, top player competitive standpoint. And it's not a rundown. of his skill, you know, saying total skill level. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's probably gonna moonwalk his way into the Hall of Fame. But yeah, real bad look right now for Albert Pujols. Like I said, divorcing his wife, who just won her battle with brain cancer. Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her.
John,
that's what I'll do. I'll take that out to her.
Yeah, I was looking at the Colts roster real quick and their depth chart, John. Quarterbacks right now, Matt Ryan, Sam Ehlinger, and James Morgan. Yeah, you're going to ask, who the hell is James Morgan? Well, he's a signed quarterback to that roster. Running backs,
yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Deion Jackson. Here's your wide receiver corp. Michael Pittman Jr., Ashton Doolin, Paris Campbell, Desmond Patton, Mike Strychen, and Kiki Kuti, and DeMichael Harris. Who? Your number one tight end, Mo Alie-Cox. Your backup tight end is Kylan Granson. Probably not going to do much there. You've got one left tackle at Matt Pryor right now. Carter O'Donnell is your number two bet left tackle. Left guard, Quentin Nelson. Center, Ryan Kelly. Right guard, Danny Pinter from Ball State. And then the other right tackle, Braden Smith. So three of the four, I feel like, are locked up there on the offensive side. But really thin at wide receiver, John, and that left tackle I know you're not happy about, as well as that tight end position.
I'm not at all. But, you know what I'm saying, Quentin Nelson can play a little left tackle. You just don't want your left guard playing left tackle. Again, it's not necessarily his natural position. So, and again, you know what I'm saying, that's that old adage, left tackles are born, not necessarily made. So, I had heard a rumor, though, Brandon. I guess I'm in rumor mill mode this particular show. I had heard a rumor, man, that Eric Fisher might necessarily – that might still be a name that we put out there on the field. I don't know his number, like what he's looking for. He made about $8 million last year. And at times he looked like, you know saying, a shadow of himself, of his former self, all-pro self that he was in Kansas City. So that's a possibility, because like right now, man, you know, since the talent pool, at least from a veteran standpoint, it's kind of drying up at any position that we need. Left tackle, tight end. There's been some tight ends that have been released, but again, you know, you would want in your GM mind, you would want a guy not necessarily released. You would want a free agent, like a guy that the team says, man, we can't pay that number that you're looking for, not necessarily somebody we release. Release means to me like, man, the wheels are a little flat on that Cadillac. So buyer beware. We know quarterback is solidified, so I will say that, right? We can feel comfortable about that. I've kind of walked off the, you know what I'm saying, come back from the ledge. You know what I'm saying? Again, we know there's not a whole lot of shelf life necessarily with that position. So I really don't know why the Colts haven't spent the money and the capital that they have, cap space that they have, in order to sign to fill out this roster. I really don't know. It's a mystery to me. I really don't know, man. So I guess, you know what I'm saying, Chris Ballard, general manager of the Colts, is thinking that he's going to fill these positions, you know, through the draft. Six rounds in the draft, you know, we know we don't have a first-round pick this year. Another third got moved to Atlanta because of with the Matt Ryan trade. So you have some opportunities to bring some players onto your roster, but they better be home runs, right? You better hit a home run with a left tackle if he's a rookie. You better hit a home run. You can in a lot of rounds. You can hit a home run with the tight end. You can.
Based on the Colts roster, they still have 15 open roster spots that they have to fill before training camp.
Before training camp. So that kind of tells you, read the tea leaves, that kind of tells you there's going to be some veteran guys that other teams didn't necessarily want or longer than two that the Colts are going to absorb, right? And you just got to hope, from a fan standpoint, that those guys still got at least a little bit enough just to get you to, I think, 10 wins. I know we don't even have a schedule. Do we even have, I don't think we have a schedule yet, you know what I'm saying? But I think 10 with this particular division, the AFC South, 10 wins might win you the AFC South easily. And I mean, 10 wins can win the AFC South easy. So, you know,
Mike Chappell. Mike Chappell with the Colts says, my impression in early April is the Colts are better now than at the end of 21 because of Matt Ryan / Yannick Ngakoue, but the roster is worse. Strange but true, a handful of starting spots in play and depth concerns all over this roster.
Well, they answered two cornerback positions. I get it, they're backup.
They got their safety.
Corners. Yeah, backup safety, backup corner, right? How much juice is this new defensive coordinator got? How much good juice, you know what I'm saying, coach him up kind of juice that people kind of look for? Can you make – is he a whisperer? Can he make a shiny penny look like a dime, you know?
If you're the Colts, can you go after him in the third round? Who are you targeting? What position? Third round.
That's
available?
It has to be a left tackle.
Has to be.
I get it. Wide out is a need, but it has to be a left tackle. If you ain't got left tackle, Patty Mahomes was fighting for his life two seasons at the Super Bowl. It looked like what in the hell? It did. You know what I'm saying? That's when everybody learned how important the left tackle position was. Everybody who pays attention. You know, but because I don't know if there's a speedster there, you're saying you think you would go for a wide out there or a tight end? You know, they also took up some lumps and let some guys go in free agency as far as on the offensive line. So I think with that first pick that they have, they got to go with the best left tackle that there is and hope that. That, you know what I'm saying, like I said, he's a home run hitter.
Okay. John, WrestleMania was this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I thought it was two great shows. I thought WWE did a great job with it. Saturday's matches were really, really good. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, returning from AEW. It was official, took on Seth Rollins in a great match. A lot of great matches. Sunday had some good matches, a lot of comedy with the Johnny Knoxville match, but then also I did thoroughly enjoy the Pat McAfee Austin Theory match. I did enjoy that, and then McMahon getting involved and Stone Cold, that was good to see. But then obviously the unification of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, with Roman winning. I think the only person that could be Roman Reigns right now could be God.
Oh wow! Of course, because we know Rock ain't running back through that door, and with the success John Cena has had recently in Hollywood, he's not necessarily running back to wrestling either. So, yeah, finally, I mean, I was kind of shocked that they let Roman Reigns go over Brock Lesnar in that particular fashion. When I assisted both shows, you know what I'm saying, 2 days worth of shows. There's some content that probably could have been shaved, a little bit of fat, you know, it can be shaved. I'll leave the negativity to my personal. The highlights for me, obviously, were Stone Cold coming out and you know, saying the glass breaking and him kicking butt, right, or kicking ass. That was a highlight. Another highlight, the Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch match, I thought was pretty good. And then I think the best match of any night was Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. You know, I mean, WWE is very rarely considered to have like 5-star matches, you know, or that type of appreciation from fandoms here recently. And I think with Cody Rhodes, the story that Cody Rhodes and Seth put on, the story and show they put on Saturday. It was main event style. So it was main event style. So a 5-star worthy. So again, I thought I can't necessarily say great. I say good for darn sure. But I know, man, anybody watching the WrestleMania replay, you know, so do yourself a favor and check it out.
McAfee was over. You got to admit, McAfee is over with this crown.
McAfee is over. I wouldn't be surprised if they start asking him about booking ideas.
Yeah.
He says quirky things, man, that listeners I picked up on it. He's got so close to the sun, he's that hot. Some shit. Something to that accord, man. He said
that's Bobby Heenan like. things.
Yeah, yeah. Heenan like Roddy Piper, like, you know, real smart,
yeah.
Snarky, you know what I'm saying,
over
the top.
One thing I took out of this pay-per-view as well, excuse me, not pay-per-view, this whatever they call it now, I forget the name they call it, but special events or whatever. It was the changing, it was the ending of the guard. You had Stone Cold having his final moment, his official final moment, doing what he did, the way he ended his last match against The Rock, didn't have a proper send-off. He had his final moment. Triple H hanging them boots up on Sunday, put him in the ring, having his final moment the same day, as well as the Undertaker coming out during the Hall of Fame, having his final farewell, goodbye. The end of an era, truly ending of an era, those three superstars who carried the WWE, WWF from 95, all the way, well, Undertaker, you say 92, 91,
yeah.
But from 95, basically, through 2022. Ending of an era is what I saw. I thought the Hall of Fame, I thought Undertaker's speech was terrific. I felt like a TED Talk a lot. He kind of pulled the curtain back, which was great to see, and he felt that we showed him the respect all those years that he wanted to do it in return. So I thought that was a great speech by him. Steiner Brothers, listen to that speech. Yeah. It's Scott Steiner Life, Mike. You don't know what to expect. I'm glad he said that. The big bad booty daddy. And then I saw other people put on Twitter, and I agree. The Warrior Award, in all respect to the Warrior, it needs to be changed to the Shad Gaspard Award.
Oh, amen. Amen.
So
yeah,
your thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I always like the Hall of Fame moments, man, because you get sometimes you get part real person and part character sometimes, and I know you'd always like that, and it's not necessarily scripted by the WWE, you know, saying guys that make sure you say this, make sure you say that, right? It's not necessarily scripted by like that. I love me, man. Listen, every time you navigate through the Peacock and you pull up some old WCW from the late 80s or early 90s, I'm like, dude, I don't know how they – you send me back a video or a picture, and I'm like, Brandon, I don't know how they let Mark Callis and Paul E. Danishly go. I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't know
me
how
Mark.
They let the Steiner Brothers go. Yeah, me and Mark. I don't know how they let the Steiner Brothers go to WWF for like two years, and they came back real fast, after about 2 years. But I don't know how they let – Stone Cold, before he was Stone Cold, he was Stunning Steve Austin, and he was great in WCW, you know what I'm saying, with him and Flying Brian, or him and Colonel Parker, or him and, you know what I'm saying, the Dangerous Alliance. He was at one point with Paul E. But, it really, like, takes you down memory lanes, nostalgia, right? I love early, you know what I'm saying, you know, mid-90s and early 90s WCW. You get a lot of that, plus their WWF run, you know what I'm saying, when Vince kind of comes in and turns. Again, me and Mark was like a mid-carder. Mark Callis was a mid-carder. Paul Levesque, Triple H, was a jobber when he was in WCW.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying?
Terrorizing.
Terrorizing. He comes to WWF, and, you know what I'm saying, he finds his way. He finds the personality. He finds, you know what I'm saying, a better chance to show his, you know what I'm saying, all of them, the better platform to show their ability, and they become superstars. Triple H, you can't talk about, and I know you're going to fall out, you can't talk about professional wrestling in the last 25 years without mentioning Triple H's name, you know what I'm saying, or how, what involvement, whether it was from a DX standpoint or whether his own solo run as the Game, right? You cannot mention Triple H's name. So it was great to see kind of all that kind of play out. Triple H's not necessarily in the Hall of Fame just yet, right? I don't think. Not as a solo. He might be in there. No, he's not.
No, he's in with DX.
Yeah, he's in with DX. So I'm sure, you know, Vince likes to put guys in twice and three times if they have a faction behind them. So I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to hear Triple H speech about his solo career as well. So, but no, I mean, I thought
I'm glad
great.
You said that. I'm glad you said that. Uh-oh. What I had it written down. Who do you feel, John, are like on your list of next people that need to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Realistically, I think Booker T's already in there. So I would say him. The Rock.
He's already in.
Whenever, who is Booker T?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. But The Rock for darn sure. As crazy as it sounds, man, and he ain't been that far removed from wrestling, John Cena is definitely a Hall of Famer. I love me some John Cena. Not necessarily the last 5 years of John Cena, but like the spinny belt and the U.S. Heavyweight Champion John Cena SmackDown. I was there for it every Friday, right? But like, no, man, great, good. John Cena deserves being a Hall of Famer. The Rock. I can't really think off the top of my mind any WCW wrestler. It would be good. All the Four Horsemen, technically, whether it's Arn or Tully Blanchard, probably should be in the WWE Hall of Fame as individual talents. But they're in there as the Four Horsemen, right? But they would be deserving of it as well. Big Ron Simmons, Farouk, you know what I'm saying?
He's already in.
I think, damn, sweet. So again, like, you know what I'm saying, those names are rock.
I've got names for you. I've had my own list. And I've got, this is if they headline, you can put them on several different ones, but I've got it from now to 2032 of who the headline should be for each of these. No particular order. I mean, I guess it could be an order. But looking ahead, obviously we talked Triple H. With him now officially retiring, Triple H going into the Hall of Fame seems very, very likely that something needs to happen. The Rock. Obviously, that's another big, huge name. Still not in yet. I'm thinking next time they go to the WrestleMania down in Miami or so, that could be whenever The Rock is. You talk to John Cena. I agree. John Cena definitely needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think that could come at any point here in the next couple of WrestleManias. Jericho, John, I think Jericho with the Forbidden Door being open now. Chris Jericho is a name that needs to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I feel like his name could be getting called here within the next 4 or 5 years, especially if Jericho retires from AEW. That's a name. Big Show, Paul White, I think with his accomplishments that he's done with WCW and WWE, I think that in the next 5 years, Big Show's name should be in there in the Hall of Fame. AJ Styles, another one, just with his pedigree of professional wrestling, what AJ Styles has done. And then here's and a couple more that I think should be instantly that need to be done here are Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio needs to be in the Hall of Fame. As much as I'm kind of over the character and stuff, I think what he's done for this business, I think it's time for Mysterio to be in the Hall of Fame as well. And Lex Luger. Lex Luger is another one. Before we lose him, Lex Luger needs to be in the Hall of Fame. You talk about WWC guys. That's one.
Let me ask you about this guy because you didn't mention him. I agree with everybody you just said.
I got two more.
Do you? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brandon. Go ahead.
The last two, which is later, I'm looking 2028, 2029, Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar.
Wow. No Kevin Nash as a single? What about if Crawford?
Actually,
Hall
I think
he
already
is
a single.
I thought he was in with the New World Order.
No, Nash went in Hall of Fame 2013.
Okay. All right. But, yeah. What about Kurt Angle? No, Kurt Angle's in. Yeah, he's in.
Angle's in.
Okay.
But your thoughts, what's your thoughts? I'll give you these three. Luger, Jericho, Big Show, Mysterio. Those four.
Again, man, Lex Luger played a big part in either company, whether it was World Championship Wrestling, as a member, one-time member of the Four Horsemen, or as a running buddy with Sting. I remember him and Sting saw that police car on Nitro, and they were chasing the NWO. He's also one of the guys that came over. He was one of the first person people. No, Hogan body slammed Yokozuna first, and then Lex Luger did it. Or it might be the other way around. Hogan beat Yokozuna for the title. Luger body slammed him first.
Yes.
But Luger has a great, regardless of him, you know, saying, I know he has a lot of off the, you know, saying people, him and Miss Elizabeth and drugs and whatnot. He turned himself around, you know, saying.
Apparently there's a falling out between WWE and them. That's why I joked about it on Twitter. I said, what happens first, Lex Luger in the Hall of Fame or the Lex Luger special on Peacock? Which happens first?
Right. Yeah, because we're still waiting on it. Remember, it was supposed to come on. We're still waiting on it. Nah, man. Lex Luger, you know what I'm saying, multi-time world champion, multi-time minor, whatever other champion, U.S. champion, world television champion, world tag team champion. He's done. He's kind of done it all. And he has some great, I mean, anybody look at the network, man. He's had some great matches with Ric Flair that I would, everybody, you know what I'm saying, to look, you know what I'm saying, check out. But who else you say? You said Lex Luger, and who else? He definitely should be in. Who else did you say? I'm sorry. Randy Orton.
Mysterio.
I, of course, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is like Spider, or real life Spider-Man come to life. When you think about some of the things he did early on in his career. First time I saw him was at ECW. He jumped outside of the ring into the crowd. I had never seen that before in my life. You know what I'm saying? We've seen guys jump on like other guys onto like the outside ring apron, but he jumped into the crowd. Right, and that's kind of a daredevil that he was at one point. And he, like I said, and you know what I'm saying, when they said a little guy couldn't win the big world title in WWE, he proved that wrong too. He has one of the greatest matches he's ever had in WWE. I can't remember what WrestleMania was, but it was him and Kurt Angle. Great match. So he definitely deserving. Big White, Big White, Big Paul White, Big Show. Whether he was with the Dungeon of Doom in WCW or whether he was, showed up as Paul White. that was like lame. They couldn't find a name for him when he made his jump over from WCW to WWE. They call him by his real name, by his government name. I thought that was crazy, man. The lamest, here's Brandon, that got us, the lamest moment in Paul White's career, WWE's career. Do you remember that vignette they shot? Did somebody take his... at the gravesite?
Yes. He wrote on the casket. He wrote on the casket. I thought it was great.
Man, that was crazy. That teetered the line in poor taste.
Here's the trivia question. Do you know who it was that he was feuding with? Because they showed up.
Was that the Big Boss Man?
It was. He showed up in the Blues Brothers car with the big speaker. It was talking about him being a big baby and whining.
Man, they probably was high as heck when they did that, man. They had a whole funeral service mocked, right? And then they get into a fight, and Big Show, his big self, he's bigger than the freaking casket.
He hooks it up.
It's just riding on.
If you haven't seen it, please YouTube it. It's one of the greatest things
I'm gonna
ever.
I'm going to put it on the site tonight, man, because it's hilarious. But
he wrote it. But here's the thing, John. So it was Big Show riding his dad's casket. But what people don't know, unless you watch WWE Network where it talks about it on the behind the scenes, Paul White's dad actually died a few years earlier. So.
Oh, God.
So the wounds were still newish, you know, for him to have to do that role. So, a couple other names, John. There's one name that you're not going to agree with that I think deserves being in the Hall of Fame, but I'm not looking at it till maybe 2031 to 2035 for him to get in, just based on the amount of people here I've named already. But I think the way he talks on a microphone, I think his quality of work, the championships he's run, the kind of heel that he can be, The Miz.
Ooh. Man. You know what? The locker room still gives him a hard time for being from the real world, from being not necessarily somebody who got into this business just because he was a reality TV star, you know, which is kind of odd. I'm speaking in positivity of The Miz. Now guys become wrestlers and now they want to become TV stars. Maybe you might get into the wrestling business, but then you also want to transition into TV or movies or whatever. Some of them turn into rappers, believe it or not. But I think Miz, he's got the resume to get in, Brandon. Just when he officially want to call it, you know what I'm saying, call it a quiz, and be inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's kind of on him, but he definitely got the resume to get in for sure.
Have you watched the Evil series yet on Peacock? Started it?
That
is that produced.
Much?
I do. John Cena narrates it, but there's a couple different executive producers on there, and it is a great, 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 great series. Six or eight different people, and they told me the Randy Orton one may be the best of them all. But only from the beginning of their careers, talk to them and kind of proceeds throughout their career. So season one, John, people are Hollywood Hulk Hogan, which obviously is the number one, which is the biggest one. The Miz, The Miz's story, a lot of the stuff with him being in the locker room and him not being able to dress in the locker room for the first year and a half that he was with them, that he had to dress in the actual public bathrooms to get changed for his sets. Sasha Banks, the Brothers of Destruction, Randy Orton, Stephanie McMahon, Ric Flair, and Roman Reigns. That's your season one. I'm getting ready to start the Randy Orton one soon. They're all about 45 minutes long. Roman Reigns was 50, but great, great series, Evil, if you get a chance to watch it on Peacock. Just the heels and such. Definitely looking forward to seeing the rest of those. But
Brandon, after this show, Peacock's going to have to offer. Peacock's going to have to write us a sponsorship check because we've mentioned them way too much on this particular episode. So, but Peacock got some good content. I get it.
Exactly, John. Anything else before we go?
We got to talk about Butler.
Go ahead.
So. If anybody follows our socials, whether you follow Brandon on Facebook or me on Facebook or follow the Crossroads Sports Instagram site, a couple of weeks ago, Brandon and I got invited to go speak to a journalism class at Butler University. Kind of going into it, we didn't necessarily know what to expect. I'm speaking for myself now. So I shouldn't say we. I didn't know what kind to expect, even though the professor – Oshia Boy of the Indianapolis Recorder is the one who invited us. Everybody knows of our great relationship with the Indianapolis Recorder. As Tyler Fenway comes on, Danny Bridges comes on from time to time to talk about Michigan football and basketball. And Danny comes in and talks about racing and other other aspirations of that Danny Bridges might have. But like, nah, man, Oshia Boyd of the Recorder is this particular professor of this particular class at Butler Sports Journalism, and me and Brandon kind of got to go on and to kind of tell the story of Crossroads Sports and like what we know about sports media and podcasting. And I thought it was a great opportunity once we got there. Me and Brandon did some prep work, to make sure that we had all our had the story covered, and we talked about media credentials. We talked about, who we had on the show, whether it was Ken Barlow or Bridget Pettis or Danny Limelight or whoever, some of the names that we've had on the show as far as guests. And we kind of talked about, our sponsorships, those types of things, and the growth of the show. Brandon talked about when I wasn't on the show. And when it was just Reef Takes, and he was down there, asking Matt Painter down at Purdue, asking questions in the press box. So I had a great time. I hope we have even more opportunity to go talk to the youth about sports, sportscasting, or in podcasting. It's not necessarily that we are masters of this particular trade ourselves, but we put ourselves in a great position to cascade information for those next generation of people who are going to, have jobs in the field, whether it's ESPN or IndyStar or wherever they might land at. I had a great time with it. I'll let you tell your side of the experience that we had this past Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought it was a good come into the classroom, talk to the kids, kind of give them our spiel, how it started. And I told you privately, as we were walking the campus, just kind of how surreal it was for me to think back while planning kind of where it started out as back 5 years ago to where it's at now and who we've talked with, how the show has developed, the people we've had, the media credentials, just kind of surreal, just kind of how it's developed. But talking with the class, getting them to see our side of how sports media is ran, the questions that they asked, I thought were great, kind of learning that aspect. And I said my biggest thing was wanting to be available for others. I didn't really have that person to be able to go to, bounce off ideas besides the people that I knew within the industry of audio engineering, graphics design, those type of things to help me get it started. But being able to be there for a class to answer those questions, to get them going to where they want to go when working on a site and such, I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun with it, and I look forward to going to another class at some point, speaking to another class, kind of give them the idea of what of the same thing. So I really enjoyed going to Butler and talking with them. I want to thank Butler University. I want to thank everybody for having us there. It was a great time. Shea Boyd. And in fact, it was, I thought it was only an hour class. Hell, we had an hour, we had about an hour, 15, hour 20. So that made it even better. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. John, looks like we have one call I want to take real quick.
Okay, bring him on in.
You called him last week since he wasn't on, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. You called this person a number two caller into the show, the number official number two caller. But I think he called in last week for a couple minutes because – but we'll get him on here. Decott, what's going on?
Fellas. First of all, I'm number one, not number two. So, Jonathan, you will need to retract that statement. I'm a little disappointed in your behavior. We'll talk about that another time. I know
that's
I don't have a lot of time because I was working. So here's the deal, guys. I got a lot of things I want to hit. I'm glad the season's over for the Pacers. No more games. I'm glad I got my TV. I'll be back next year when we got our three number one picks, two number one picks in our first pick in the second round. We trade Malcolm Brogdon. We're going to get us a real power forward. And get we'll get Mr. Turner some help to get so he can be protected. That's my part on the Pacers. Want to get you guys a quick take on that.
God, you got to stay out of Facebook jail, okay?
Man, they kill.
stay out of Facebook jail, man. I know. Remember Ice-T, great album. You know what I'm saying? He says it's freedom of speech. Just watch what you say. You know what I'm saying? So, stay out of Facebook jail. When I say you're number two, man, think about it like this, man. How many faces are on Rushmore? You know what I'm saying? You're part of our Rushmore. You're part of Rushmore College, man. So when I say two, it might be an alphabetical thing. Blame it on my head, not my heart. Blame it on my head, not my
fair
heart.
Enough.
When you talk about the Pacers, just make the right picks at this point. Just make the right picks that can get the team back in putting wins in the win column. That's what I would be looking for. You want to get guys that, of course, it's going to be a learning curve because you're talking about freshmen and sophomore guys, 2 years, you know, saying 2 years in college or whatever, potentially coming on to prepare a professional basketball team. But you want guys that have been around winning basketball programs and have been in themselves and been put in winning position, not selfish guys. Now guys think about, well, let me go out here and, you know what I'm saying, out here and see how much endorsements I can get. Let me go out here and see if I can become a musician or whatever. Again, some of those things kind of come naturally because of the way sports and entertainment mail. But, you know what I'm saying, you just want, you know what I'm saying, Brandon gets on me because he said he calls this, and you, he calls this not necessarily a rebuild or retooling. I like retooled and then I like the words tank, but just pick the right guys. So pick some, pick some mature guys that can play. Guys that can play. And, you know, if there's any deals out there to get Malcolm Brogdon contract moved, yes, I'm for it. And if there's any deals out there that also Brandon and Decott that can help nurture. Because you said a couple weeks ago, Decott, that kind of raised my eyebrow and it made me remember. When Al Harrington, and I know we're talking about damn near decades, almost two decades ago when Al Harrington was here and Jermaine O'Neal, but when they were here, they had like mentors, player mentors.
Yeah.
They kind of showed them showed them how to, you know what I'm saying, the reins of how to be a pro. And that was, you know what I'm saying, the Davis, you know what I'm saying, Antonio.
He moved in with Antonio and his wife. Yeah, so you're right,
so that's what I would kind of want. because the NBA can be very – the NBA lifestyle off the court can be very distracting, and you can get into a lot of mischief, you know what I'm saying, whether you're black, white, brown, whatever. You just can. There's a lot of – you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of guaranteed money, and you might not have to go to work. And then, you know what I'm saying, on a particular day, and then what kind of mischief are you find yourself into? So I just hope the Pacers, who, you know what I'm saying, and again, I know there's waning faith on various sides of this call, of that front office. You know what I'm saying? Some of us on this call don't believe in Pritchard. Some of us on this call don't believe in Carlisle. But they are veterans in this particular game, and they should know. I must say should know. What people to bring into this organization that are going to be able to work out for the Pacers. And so they can get some wins, man. Listen, even if they can record, I think the Pacers won how many games this year? 20, 22, maybe? You know what I mean?
22 and 57. So we got two games left, so 82, whatever the number is on that.
Yeah,
I think
so
22 and 58 now. I don't know.
Yeah, so even if they can get that number up by 10 wins next season, I'm low-balling it, man. You know what I'm saying? From what I really
want. It's low-ball right now before draft time. So let's see. We'll have that conversation after draft. Matt, speaking of draft, are you going to be able to go to the party? Because I talked to my ticket person last night. They're really leaning towards Carmel again.
Whatever day it is, I might be going. I might be in.
Well, if you want to go.
Whatever day it is, man, you
got
to let
me know.
I got you. Okay.
We'll
be there.
Anyway, but yeah.
Hey, D-Cop, one thing one thing that Jonathan wanted to know about, we were talking yesterday at Butler with you, is he wants to know if you're okay with you're surviving the way your Lakers are ending this season.
Oh, man. you're kidding, right? You realize
I'm
absolutely kidding. Let me tell you, but real quick, I hit the Lakers. Pritchard was out front last night as we were coming into the building, shaking hands and kissing babies. I took a beeline the opposite direction. I don't want that man bad luck touching no part of my skin.
Woo!
So he's out there begging last night. Oh, anybody else, they'll tell you, he was out there begging. So Scott was there last night. I saw Scott. He was there begging last night for people to support him. No thanks. I've seen enough. So, but to that point, right, and I don't take a lot of happiness and those guys, you know, losing like that. But here's why. Because those unrealistic fans are the ones who drive that behavior. You know,
absolutely,
all this unrealistic behavior. That's, and they don't get it. They think, oh, you're hating on LeBron. No. The man is a wonderful person outside the court. He does a lot of great things for the community, the black community. All wonderful. Second to none. Jordan can't hold a candle to that guy regarding that.
Right.
When we go to the basketball court, I don't see a plethora of videos and highlights of Jordan flopping around and acting like he got hit and didn't get hit and all that. I don't see that. There's no compilation of Jordan out there.
No, it's not.
And for him to quit on his team shows that his feelings are a lot more sensitive than he wants you to believe. Remember he says, I'm in a great place, I love my guys and all this. No, he wasn't. Because if you were in a great place, you'd have got there on your little sore ankle and played and said, we can do this five in a row. They do five in a row with you, and they sure in the hell couldn't do five in a row without you.
Mm.
I lost a lot of respect for him over this last couple of weeks, right? I clown and cut up and all that stuff like that, right? But I lost respect for his heart and his desire. And so everybody comes out and says something about LeBron. Athletes, guys that played the game, coaches, general managers. They're all haters. But if they said something great, look at this. This person said this great thing about LeBron. Everybody has a side, man. We just got
to – Yeah, everybody has a side when it comes to LeBron.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. The Eastern Conference 1-4 is so close right now. If you ask me, I don't even want to have a chance to be the number one seed just because I would rather not pair up against Brooklyn in the first round.
Well, here's my problem with Brooklyn, man. I was really a lot of confidence. I love KD.
Couple minutes.
Everybody knows I love him. Problem is, I just don't see the heart in the fourth quarter. I don't see the fight, man.
Nope.
They have more fight. I just haven't seen it. I don't think they're the threat that I thought they were a month ago. I just don't.
they can score with anybody. They can't stop a cold. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And then I'll hit y'all really quick. Matty Ice to Indianapolis. I know I haven't talked about that. Hey, how do you guys feel about that? I know y'all have talked about it. So thumbs
I'm
up and thumbs down.
Thumbs up for
me. I'm good with it now. At first, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But I'm good with it now.
And, last thing. I'm going to hit you with this, Brandon. Your guy is really consistent at Purdue. He really is. Painter, 17 years, man. 17 NCAA wins. He's a pillar of consistency. He may not be going to the Hall of Fame with that, but he's the little brother
to
IU, as always. He's the little brother. And, again, I'll hit you with that next week because I want to get some other stuff in. But I got some stuff for you. I'm tired of people taking shots at my boy Woody. They ain't fight crap. They can take that. They can put that in the garbage.
His players don't even trust him.
Stop it. Everybody's transferring, Brandon. Stop it.
No, they're not. Producer, now is it?
Arkansas's got two right now, and they just came off a Final Eight.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Stop being a homer, Brandon. You're better than this. You're not ready to fight.
Well, just make sure nobody else gets in trouble with the police in that program. All right.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Oh man,
I can't. You know what? I'm gonna fire up my Twitter machine. I haven't fired
Twitter
in a while.
I'm
a tweet you.
You can't go to jail there.
Yeah, you're right. Because I sure the hell go to jail in Facebook. But look, I love the show as always. But again, like I said, guys, the draft party, hey, my guests, all in. 100%. We'll do our thing. But definitely, Brandon, I'm going to hit you on Twitter, man. You got me riled up, man. You got me
Let's
riled
do
up.
It. Let's do it. See you,
all right. You guys be safe. Take
all right, John. Finish this out.
Oh, man. Dude, thanks, D-Cop, for calling. Also want to say thank you, man, because I know we're running for time. Thanks again to Butler for having us out, man. Can't wait till we can come out again to talk to anybody about sports or sports media, sports marketing, what have you. Also want to say thank you to Mavericks Coach Motorsports. Want to say thank you to Wiseman Logistics. Want to say thank you to Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. How could we do these shows without our sponsors? Brandon, Walking Dead, I lost my mind last episode. I'm going to lose my first word, lose my mind again come this Sunday, man. We'll chop it up a little bit more about Walking Dead next weekend. But until then, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.